book of Colossians. And there are two very important things in the Christian life. And they are praying and witnessing. And the Apostle Paul, in this last chapter to the Colossians, would touch on prayer life in verse 2. And from verses 3 to 6, the witnessing life of the believer. And to mention these two spiritual aspects of the Christian life before the closing of this chapter was how important prayer and witnessing were in the eyes of the Apostle Paul. And another reason that praying and witnessing are mentioned is because Paul knew that these two things were missing in the lives of many of the Colossian Christians. And these two things are also missing today. Missing and wanting in many lives of Christians, including you and me. Have you met a Christian who says that he has been praying too much? Or he or she has been witnessing too much? But as far as we know from our own perspective, and we know from our own very perspective, whether we have been praying too much or witnessing too much, or we have not done enough as far as these two spiritual aspects or two spiritual activities are concerned. And the Apostle Paul, in the previous chapter, having told the Colossian Christians to walk in Christ and gave them precious doctrines for their practical living. And before he would give his final address and readings from verse 7 to the end of the chapter, he had this to say to them in verse 2: continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul could have said, don't stop praying, but he did not. But he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and under the inspiration of God, he wrote, continue to pray. And continue to pray is not just, it's more than just don't stop praying, but it means to be faithful in prayer. But you and I know for a fact that nothing in our hearts can fade away so quickly than the desire to pray, much less to talk about being faithful in our prayers. And as Christians, we know that the only thing that we can do to have God's attention is actually to go down on our knees to pray. And it is in the place of prayer that we are encouraged. It is in the place of prayer that our hope is increased. Our hope is lifted up. And at the same time, it is in the place of prayer that we can do away with all our pride. However, we must never think that Christians are the only people in the world that know how to pray. But non-Christians who do not have the slightest knowledge of the true and the living God will go even further than you and I can go. And using all kinds of religious artifacts like prayer beads, wheels, threads, and strings, and thinking and believing that they are effective means to make their gods to listen to the prayer. If the pagans, if the heathens, and the unbelievers can pray and have no promises from their gods and have no assurance whatsoever that their prayers, their requests, will be heard, we who are children of the true God. We who are the children of the living God are more ready and are more willing to pray and to seek the Lord's face. But is this the case for you and me? Or is this not the case? Because we will always be struggling to find time to pray. And we will always have excuses to say that we have not prayed. Because many a times and very often, we forget to pray. If we have no time for certain things in this world, and if we forget to do certain things in this world, we may be acceptable to man. But the same excuses that we may have for not praying, in the sight of God, it is simply unbelief. This is not the kind of unbelief that we don't trust God anymore or we don't depend on Him anymore. But if you know the attributes of God and how wonderful God's attributes are, then to have this privilege to speak with Him, the God who is all-knowing, the God who is all-powerful and everywhere, and we will not, it is indeed the sin of unbelief. And this problem that Christians are not praying all the time, or prayerlessness, is a problem with many Christians. And the only way to deal with this problem is what Paul says to us today. Continue in prayer. And we have to pray and pray. And in no time, if we continue to pray and pray, this problem of prayerlessness will be gotten rid of. And we may think that this ability to pray is a human weakness, but it is not so. Contrary to this, prayerlessness is the cause of all our human weaknesses. Prayerlessness is the cause of all our spiritual problems. And prayerlessness, moreover, is a sin. How do you know that it is a sin? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. And this is what Samuel said to the people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He had done for you. Now the prophet Samuel was saying that he would be sinning against God if he had not continued to pray for God's people. And in verse 24, he asked the people to fear God, to serve Him, and considered how great things God had done for them. And in like manner, the Apostle Paul would have the Colossian Christians to know that he would not cease to pray for them. But on their part, the Apostle would want them to pray and to continue to pray, and to pray prayers of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is an element that is found in true prayer. And every fervent prayer is full of gratitude, full of thanksgiving from the child of God who has tasted and experienced how good it is to his life. And the Colossian Christians, they should be thankful to God, because Paul told them that God had delivered them from the power of darkness and had translated them into the kingdom of His dear Son. And they ought to be very thankful to God for the freedom of life that they enjoyed, for not being persecuted for their faith. And at that time, great persecution was going on against Christians. And ironically, it was Paul who was in jail writing to them to encourage them, instead of the Colossian Christians writing to Paul to encourage him. And in the book of Colossians, Paul mentioned it many times on Thanksgiving. And the fact that he wrote from prison, will it not make thanksgiving, or to make the subject of thanksgiving, to be more wonderful? And dear brothers and sisters, you may have gone through, or you may be going through, the roughest patch of your life at this moment. But you can be thankful to God, because you know that the Lord is with you, like He was with the Apostle Paul when he was in jail. And Paul knew the old scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, like the back of his hand. And he knew what David meant when he said, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comforteth me. And if it was under tremendous pressure and difficult circumstances and adverse situations on the part of David when he wrote the Psalms, prison could not be the worst place for the Apostle Paul. And he knew it. And he knew in his heart that it was God's purpose for him to be there. And if the Apostle Paul had not been to prison, then today we might not have the prison epistles. And the Apostle Paul, he was an energetic person. He couldn't sit still or stay in one place for too long. He had to be on the move. And we can say that he is Mr. Perpetual Motion, moving from one place to another. And the fact is attested by his 3 missionary journeys. But here he was in jail, and it was definitely for a purpose, for the Apostle Paul, such an energetic person, to be confined to prison. But he could do more in the prison than what he could do when he was a free man, because he wrote the prison epistles. And we can believe that he prayed even more when he was in jail. And he would pray like never before, not only for himself, but for those that were outside in the churches that he had planted, the churches that he had founded. And having said that, however, we are to realize that it is not how much we are to pray in order to meet the requirement of God. If God has this expectation for us, as far as prayer is concerned, we will never be able to meet that expectation. We can pray day and night, night and day for that matter, and it will not be enough. If prayer is to be understood and has got to do with time and space, and not to be understood by us, that prayer is indeed a relationship with God Himself. Why did Paul, in the previous chapter, made mention that wives, they are to submit to their husbands? And why husbands, they are to love their wives, children to obey their parents, servants to serve their master, and masters to be kind to them. Is it not that Paul wants us to know that not only our relationship with God, which is of most importance, but all other relationships are important. And all other relationships can only be managed, can only be handled well, if we are people of prayer. Bearing in mind that we live in a fallen world. However wonderful your relationship with another person, circumstances in life, situations in life, they are not helpful to make your relationship with other people to be amiable, to be good. But only prayer will able to make good any relationship. And we are not to be ignorant of the fact that human relationships, they are fragile. And any human relationship will be difficult and hard to handle. But if we are not concerned, if we cannot be bothered and to carry ourselves with this attitude and not to pray to God to restore any strained or broken down relationship, we can be certain that the strained and broken down relationship will not be restored. And strives and contentions with one another will continue. I wouldn't say that you do not pray at all for your relationship with other people, but you may be praying only occasionally. You may be praying half-heartedly. But we thank God that He is not like us. He will not listen to us only occasionally. He will not listen to us when He feels like listening to us. But He will listen to us at any time of the day and at any time of the night, because our God, He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And He's more willing to listen to our prayers than we are more willing to pray unto Him. However, brothers and sisters, God's willingness to listen to our prayer must never be taken for granted. And God's willingness to listen to our prayer does not mean that prayer is the most effective way to get God to do what we want Him to do for us. We are never to pray in this wise to make God to do our will on earth. But we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to obey what He says to us, to submit our will to God's will. And at all times, with this willingness in our hearts to do God's will in our lives. And I wish to say this to one of our young people that I spoke to not too long ago. And this young person is anxiously waiting for answers from God. And yet, God has not answered his prayer thus far. And let me say this, if your life, if your prayer is aligned with the will of God, the answer from God may not be immediate. The answer from God may not be so forthcoming as you would have thought, but If your prayer is aligned with God's will, then it will come. Then God will answer your prayer in due course of time. If we know that God is a caring God, if we know God's heart, we know that He may delay us for a little while. but he will not deny us. And those amongst us who may be seeking jobs, who may be seeking relationships, who may be seeking children to come to their lives, may be thinking that God is taking his own sweet time to answer their prayers. And they may be discouraged when prayers don't seem to come. But when men and women, because of careers, because of finances, delay their marriages, and those that are already married, for the same reasons, to delay having children, they can wait as long as they would want to wait. They would not blame God, they would not blame anybody. They would not be anxious, they would not be discouraged. For selfish reasons, men and women will deliberately delay, but not God. And if there's a delay coming from God, it must be for a purpose. And if you are delayed from going from one point to another point for a minute or 5 minutes, do not be anxious, because nothing happens by chance. If all you know, and we can be very certain, that God delays you so that something that is adverse, something that is not good, may be averted from your path. And brothers and sisters, an immediate answer to prayer will make us to be very proud, will make us to be very arrogant and to be presumptuous. But God delay us, and God's delay will definitely make us to be very humble, make us not to be presumptuous, to the end that we may be patient, we may be long-suffering. And if we can understand that in God's plan, there are things that must come first, followed by things in the middle, and eventually things that come at the end, then we will be able to see God's plan to be like a jigsaw puzzle. Some pieces must be fitted first, some in the middle, and some will be fitted and have to be fitted in the end. Your plans, your proposals, whatever ambition that you have, may be realized within a short period of time, but there will always be those whose plans are in a transitional state or period. And yet there are also those that have not seen anything happening yet. But in God's plan, everyone from the beginning of time to the end of time, those whom he has chosen, elected to be saved, will fit into his plan perfectly in the end. God's timing is perfect. There's no delay. And those whom he has chosen will never be left out. And the last that will come into his kingdom will not be the least. And the least that come into his kingdom will in no wise be the least important in this kingdom. However, our plans, our proposals, our decisions that we have committed to God may be delayed, but God's delay is not to frustrate us. God's delay is not to put us and to bring us to despair. God's delay is for a purpose. And he wants to make us to be more devoted to him. And being devoted to God, we will know that he is the sovereign God who takes charge of our lives, And if God takes charge of our lives, you can be very certain that He will care for us. And He will provide all our needs in our lives. Our prayers may not be answered immediately. But if we believe that our plan is like the last piece of that jigsaw puzzle that will finally and eventually be fitted into that frame, then the best thing that we can do while we are waiting for God to answer our prayer is to continue to pray, to persist in prayer, to agonize in our prayer. And Paul would want us to know in verse 2 that praying must also be watchful. And the phrase, pray and watch, that Paul used was first used in the book of Nehemiah. When the Jews came back from Babylon to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem, and they prayed and watched against their enemies, the Samaritans. And they were there to scoff at them. And they were there to wait for every opportunity to ruin their plans. But brothers and sisters, greater and more formidable enemies are not enemies that we can see with our eyes, but enemies that are in the spiritual realm. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And how true it is that Christians, we are engaged in this spiritual warfare, ongoing, as long as we have breath in our life. This warfare will continue, and we will continue to wrestle against the principalities of this life. And therefore, Jesus, He said in the gospel, after He had given the Olivet Discourse to the disciples, He then said to them, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. It was the trial of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Though they knew Him, but they did not have a full understanding about Christ with regard to His death and His resurrection. They thought that there would be a political kingdom to come. But when they saw soldiers came to arrest Jesus, and when they saw Him tried and crucified and had no power to deliver Himself, they fled. Why? Because they did not listen to Jesus, who told them to watch and pray. And what was a trial in the beginning to test their faith became the devil's temptation to entice them, that they may fall into the sin of unbelief. The spirit is willing, but we may be 100% sure that we will not deny Christ, but the flesh, by nature, is weak. The flesh, by nature, can betray us. And when we are betrayed by the flesh, we will stumble and fall at our trials if we do not watch and pray. And verse 3, Whether praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now the Apostle Paul, his prayer, or rather his prayer request, was not for the prison doors to be opened that he might walk out of prison as a free man. But he prayed that the doors of the ministry to be opened. And as far as Paul was concerned, It was more important to be a minister of the gospel than to be a free man in society. And we can tell from the prison epistles, one after the other, that he wrote, that his concern was never for himself, never for his own safety, never for his well-being, but it was for the gospel. His concern was the gospel to be preached freely, offering freely to all sinners, that they may come to safety and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul could never doubt God's ability to open the door of utterance in response to the prayers of his people. And Paul was indeed a humble man. And he was not ashamed to let people know that he needed prayer, any more than he was embarrassed to call upon some ordinary saints, ordinary Christians in the church, to pray for him. As far as Paul was concerned, to ask others to pray was not a sign of weakness. Dear brothers and sisters, we pray for one another. It's because we are not self-seeking people. We don't seek after our own interests. We don't seek to live our lives to ourselves or for ourselves. But as a household of Christians belonging to the body of Jesus Christ, we seek one another. And we seek to esteem one another better than ourselves. And if you have been praying for others, you would have realized that praying for others is the best thing that you can do for them when you can do nothing more in many situations. Can you pray? Can you help? Or can you do something for someone who has lost her husband or his wife? You can't, but you can only pray for that person, that the Lord will comfort that person. Can you do more for a person who is dying of a terminal disease? You can't. Even the doctors, they have given up hope. But you can do more for him, and that is to pray for him. Can you help someone to settle his debt? Perhaps a $1 million debt or other life problems that are beyond our abilities to help. But apart from this best thing that we can do, and that is to pray and to make intercession for these people who are in need. And Paul was the apostle of Jesus Christ. And yet, he would not want others to think that he was more spiritual, that he was more righteous, and therefore he had no need for others to pray for him. The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. He made intercession for other people, and he also would have others to make intercession for him. And when Paul wrote to the Colossians, it was not so much to ask them to pray for him with regard to his personal life, but it was a common cause. And this common cause would have other Christians in the church to pray together with him and for him, that the Lord would open the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And what is this mystery of Christ that we are talking about? And the phrase, the mystery of Christ, was first mentioned by Paul in chapter 1. That this mystery that was hidden from ages and generations, but now made manifest to the saints. And this mystery was not what the Gnostics would say. That was hidden secret. That it must necessarily come, that people must necessarily come to them and through them in order that this mystery be revealed. This mystery of Christ that the apostle would want the Colossian Christians to know, and he wants us to know, is not the mystery in the sense that is confusing, that is obscured, like riddles that we listen to, that have no answers, that will cause us to go round and round in circles without answers. But this mystery of Christ is in the sense that no one would have thought that God could become man. No one in his wildest imagination or dream would have thought that God would become man. And this mystery can only be understood by us. It's because God has revealed to us. And therefore the aim of our evangelism and witness is to make clear this mystery to those that do not know Christ. This mystery concerning the incarnation of the Son of God. God became flesh and dwelt amongst men. This mystery of his sinless perfection, his sinlessness, his sinless nature, his death, his resurrection for the justification of sinners. And last but not least, the mystery that you and I ought to know is this, that no longer Jews would dominate the church, but today, Gentiles and Jews, they are one in the body of Jesus Christ. And Paul would have the Colossians Christians to know that they were one together with the Jews in Jesus Christ. Though the Judaizers may not have thought it to be, but Paul would have this mystery to be made known to the Colossians, that they were indeed one with the Jews in Christ. And this mystery that Paul proclaimed and preached was so precious to him that he was prepared to go to jail and even to die for this mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if needs be. Look to verse 4. Paul says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And here is another plea of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians Christians to pray for him, that he might proclaim this gospel with a clear speech and with courage. And Paul knew that an open door was useless without clarity of speech, without courage. And without a clear speech and courage, and with a clear speech and courage, without the Lord opening the door to the ministry, would also be useless. And therefore, Paul would continue to encourage the people to pray. And likewise, we have not ceased to pray to the Lord to touch the people, God's people, in Tabernacle BP Church, to attend the prayer meetings. And the best gauge of the church's spirituality, the church's physical, spiritual condition, is in the prayer meeting. And the best gauge of the church's passion for souls is in its evangelism. Evangelism has never been easier. As a matter of fact, it is getting harder and harder. Because we live in these days and in this age of entertainment, that people just sit around to want to be entertained. They would expect people to make them laugh, to make them happy, to flatter them, to say how talented they are, to flatter them on their appearances, make them feel good, make them feel important, and say the things that would make them to feel at ease. But not the gospel, because the gospel will speak against them. The gospel will not speak well about them. The gospel will never flatter them. And brothers and sisters, there are thousands and thousands of such people. In the evangelism that we would meet. And these people are people that the Lord would want us to reach out to. They may not necessarily come with smile on their faces to greet you at their doorsteps. But these people, they have great potential in them. Not only to reject you, but even to scold you at their very doorsteps. Are you ready to go for the Lord, for His cause, to reach out to these people? We go to the flats once a month. And in the last evangelism, only 4 of us turn up. And we were wondering, where are God's people? Where were God's people on that day? But only 4. Jesus did not only say this to His original disciples, whether it was 12 or 11 eventually, but He's saying to all disciples in every age, in every generation, be ye witnesses of Me. The disciples, they were not only witnesses of the resurrection, but they continued to be His witnesses after His ascension. We may not have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in person, but by the eyes of our faith, we behold Him. And we are to be His witnesses, even to the very end of our lives. And evangelism and witnessing, they are to be a way of life for God's people. But it's not just to go about to tell people about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is to live that Christ-like life in front of our friends and our relatives, that they may see your moral righteousness. They may see your integrity, your righteousness, and above all, they may see the love of Christ that you have, or rather the love that you have for Christ, and they will know that this change is not from you. They will know that this change is not from the circumstances around you, but this change is brought about by Christ, by God. And God has made that difference in you from what you were in the past, a totally different person, a completely different person. And only people who are truly changed, only people who are truly transformed can be true witnesses of Christ. Look to verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And Paul is saying that every aspect of the Christian life must be blameless in front of those that are outside of the church, who are unbelievers. And it is only the wisdom that we have from God that we can live every part of our lives to be blameless, to be void of offense to every man. And a blameless life will be the life that God will use to reach out to others in evangelism. And to witness to them, we must never use the wisdom of the world, because the wisdom of the world is foolishness in the sight of God. But true wisdom is wisdom that will glorify God. And God will be glorified when his son is preached, when his son, the gospel of his son, is proclaimed. But he will not be glorified if the truth is compromised, if the person of his son is denied. He will not be glorified. To walk in wisdom is not enough. But Paul says, we are to redeem the time. And to redeem the time is to make use of every opportunity that will come to you to preach the gospel. To redeem the time, not only because time is so quickly slipping away from us, but to redeem the time is because the days are evil. We are living in the last days, and we are seeing the sinfulness of sin to be more and more wicked and evil. And sin is more abounding in these days than ever before. That tells us that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. So what are you doing with your time? It may be for an honest livelihood, to provide for your family, to do the good things to others, and perhaps to come to church, making your time here in church to listen to God's word, making every effort to pray, to live a consecrated life. Or do you enter into temptations and allurements easily, preferring them to the things of God? And if prayer is just a part of our lives, then when strong temptations come, we may not be able to stand. But if you make prayer a way of life for you, praying constantly, consistently, then when temptation comes, you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now Paul in verse 4 asks for the ability to be able to speak clearly. In verse 6, Paul's prayer is for believers' speech to be always with grace and seasoned with salt. And the grace here is not God's unmerited favor for sinners, but the grace here is the ability to speak in a gentle way, in a loving way, spiritual and wholesome to others that you would want to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you would want to reach them with your speech, with grace. And to be seasoned with salt is about Christ. To be seasoned with salt is about the Christian life. Food without salt will not be tasty. But when you add salt to food, it is tasty. Once we tasted Christ, there is no other person in our lives that we would want to follow. Once we have come to know about this blessed Christian life, we will not want to have another life to live. Salt can add flavor, and to make your food to taste good. But salt is also to prevent corruption. And therefore, brothers and sisters, your speech must be blameless. Your speech must be a blessing to others. Your speech must be an encouragement to others. And your influence in this world must be an influence so great that it will win others to Christ. If not, this world will be corrupting people through and through with its sins. And people will pay high prices, great fees to learn how to communicate with one another, to sharpen their communication skills. But every child of God, every Christian is given this ability to speak about Christ and for Christ that others cannot. Those that are not born again will not be able to do so. So do you have this desire to want to talk about Christ? So much that those who listen to you, they would want to listen more. And the last part of verse 6, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. This may not be the parallel passage that you can find in Peter, but somewhat it is similar to what Peter said in his epistle. To be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And that is to say that the Christian character, the Christian conduct will remain the greatest evidence in your life, the greatest testimony in your life with regard to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of speech, if it is used for prayer, if it is used for witnessing, will glorify God. But it will not be so if the speech is for the tongue, to criticize, to slander, and for other sinful purposes. So may God help us to walk close to Him. May God help us to pray even more in these days of evil, while we await for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we also be effective witnesses for Him, telling people, just like the days of Noah, the preacher of righteousness that Noah was, to warn the people of the coming judgment. But now, the coming judgment will not be by water, but it will be by fire. It will be more devastating than the last judgment. So may God help us, and may God enable His people to serve Him well in this church. Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this day. Continue, Lord, to do a deep work in the lives of Thy people, to cause us to serve together as one, magnifying Thee and glorifying Thee. Hear this our prayer, for we ask with thanksgiving in the most blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we rise to sing hymn?